for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit your stupid narrative. He is so dense and looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We're off running Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli. We were expecting Pete Prisco tonight, but he's under the weather.
Soft.
He's out.
Or he's on a boat somewhere.
Well, I think if you listen to the open, it's obvious. He gets tired of getting beat down. And sometimes when you get beat down as much as Pete does, you just got to call in sick.
Take a day.
You got to take a day. Sick day. He's not a pro.
That's a little aggressive.
Call it how
it's
I see it,
pro,
JP.
I mean,
call it how I see it.
Wow.
Just call it. He's sick. I think he, you know.
What do you think he's doing right now? Listening to us?
Laying by the pool listening to us, laughing.
On the Jaguars app. Live.
On the app, maybe in front of his computer so he can make sure he can see my beautiful face. It's all right. It's more of me. That's what the fans want.
That's exactly. If we quiz the fans, that's what we'd find out. More Tony Boselli. We don't have enough Tony Boselli.
Not enough.
BS.
Not enough. Whoa. Someone disagrees.
Not enough Tony Boselli. Oh, my. Plenty to get to tonight. Doug Marrone did speak today. Tom Coughlin spoke over the weekend. We'll hear from both of them coming up. Roster cuts are in the books. Some waiver claims. Some offensive line talk. Doug Marrone was not ready to announce yet who was starting at left guard.
I already know who that is.
Oh, really?
We
can get to that coming.
He didn't tell me, but I'll tell you who it is.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. It's a tease.
You said Tom spoke over the weekend. Is that something that's going to be a regular occurrence?
I don't believe so. It was after the cuts. It was the 4 o'clock deadline on Saturday. So as the executive vice president of football operations and the final say, he did the conference call.
I've not heard his comments yet.
Yeah, we'll hear some comments throughout the evening tonight and kind of spread them out over the couple of hours here. We'll take your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL1, or hit us on Twitter. Hit us on Twitter, at J.P. Shadrick, at Tony Boselli.
Or just tweet us.
Or tweet at us.
Yeah, you don't have to hit us.
Well,
kids say?
Kids are saying hit us up on Twitter.
Okay.
And we'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night coming
up. Yes, still looking for a sponsor.
Yes, we are. Roster cuts in the books. Any surprise cut for you, Tony?
Nothing major. I think the fact that Alex Ellis got cut and Neil Sterling initially made it, and then he got let go for when they went and got O'Shaughnessy from the Patriots, who we saw last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he's a nice player. Young player, hasn't done a lot.
He was claimed by six teams.
Yeah, he was a very well-liked guy. But Alex Ellis was a guy who started pretty much all preseason in the two tight set. If I remember right, JB, he played more than Koyak did for most of the preseason.
Yeah, he was on the field a lot.
With that first unit. So that – I thought he was going to make the team. Now, when they saw, are we saying his name right? So, how do you say his name actually?
That's as Irish as it sounds to me. Sure, O'Shaughnessy.
It's O'Shaughnessy.
I believe it is.
All right, we don't have the pronunciation guide. We'll get that.
I've been to Ireland once, but that's the only. I don't know.
That maybe a little bit. Brandon Allen, them rolling the dice and cutting him.
Well, they didn't at first, and then
they ended up doing
it,
and the Rams picked him up. But nothing major. The Luke Buenco trade, maybe.
Late round pick in a year or two away.
We thought he was on the bubble.
Well, that pretty much means he wasn't going to make it anyway, right? He was traded at the end.
They're trying to get whatever they could for him.
Better than zero.
That's right. So nothing major, I don't think. I think Myrick making it over Dixon. I think that's probably a draft pick. He invested draft pick, but Dixon was starting for most of the time that both Boye and Ramsey were out. It wasn't Myrick. Myrick was kind of down the depth chart a little bit, but nothing out of the ordinary. I don't think
the wide receiver spots here. Shane Wynn waived injured, I guess, towards the end. Rashad Green on reserve injured, right?
What was the injury to Shane Wynn?
Don't know.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. He played the last game.
I know. I don't remember him.
I did not think they would pull the trigger and keep him over Allen Hurns. Like when they,
what? Where did the Hurns thing come from?
Once they decided they're keeping six, I think Hurns was on this roster, especially Rashard Greene injured and didn't do much for training camp. But it'll be interesting to see now how the playing time goes. Where does Allen Hurns fit in? You got, I think, A-Rob, and if Marquise Lee is healthy, which is all reports he is, are your one and two, or interchange them, whoever's one, whoever's two. You know, Keelan Cole and Westbrook, I mean, the way that Keelan Cole played, he might be your third. He's more of a threat speed-wise than Allen Hurns. Question is, are you going to trust him when it gets into the regular season?
You might
kind of revert back and say, ah, we felt okay during preseason.
That's where I'm leaning on this.
But we
rookie receivers,
yeah,
right?
We trust Allen Hurns. We know what he's going
to
do.
He's performed in the league before, and it's hard to give up a guy who has shown it on the field.
It is, but he did not have a great year last year. A lot of drops. It was not a great year for Allen Hurns. He had a much better year
before. Not a great year for A-Rob either.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think the wide receiver position is an interesting one for this team and to see how they perform. Marquise Lee had a nice year last year. I think he is the most dynamic guy in that group as far as big play, playmaking ability. Obviously, A-Rob had the great year 2 years ago. Can he rebound after having a tough year? How much does the quarterback play into that? I know we'll talk a lot of quarterback here for the rest of the night. But that's an interesting group, and they're going against a good defense, good secondary. We won't get too much into the matchups. We'll do that more Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's this offense has its work cut out for them. I mean, this is I was talking to somebody. They said, well, you know, Houston's defense was 29th in the league in preseason, and the Jaguars' offense was third. And that means absolutely nothing. This is one of the best defensive units in football. And the guy who made up most of the yards for us is on the Rams now. And so the preseason means nothing. Whatever you have seen, whatever you think you know, erase it. Because we don't know anything, because now it's for real. We've seen teams go 0-4 in the preseason and come out and play great. We've seen teams go 4-0 and can't get out of their way. So are there things that you can learn about and, you know, get some – thoughts about, especially position group-wise, maybe individual play-wise? Absolutely. But how a team performs, how it comes together, how they game plan, what they do when now you have you're going to have 45 active guys, you're going to have your starters that you're game planning against, their starters for four quarters with turnovers and field position and all the things that go into a football game, especially opening weekend. It is going to be interesting. You don't really know anything until you get through week one of the NFL season.
Yeah, because we haven't really seen anything yet.
And really, a lot of people tell you, give it the first couple weeks until you can get a really feel for what these teams are.
Offensive line, we'll get into it in depth coming up, but any surprises there in the cuts, the keeps, any of that?
No. Chris Reed, I guess because he ended up, they snuck him on the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken. The thing that was a little bit surprising to me all of training camp is he didn't get the opportunity as much.
He wasn't playing a lot, right?
When you start talking about who's going to be your, left guard, especially once the controversy or the competition, whatever you want to call it, and not knowing who it's going to be, it ended up being Boenko and Amame were the ones competing for it. You kind of heard Shatley's name, but Chris Reed is a forgotten guy, and I thought he played okay down the stretch last year. Okay. In the very limited opportunities he had. So, maybe – was it a surprise? No. But, interesting maybe a little bit. And so you look at your – you got your starting five. You got Shatley. And you have Wells as your, two guys. And then Give me the eighth guy. My mind is drawing a blank.
Well, they just added a guy, right?
Yeah, it's the new guy. They just claimed a guy, and my name, he has not been on the roster long enough.
William Poles, P-O-E-H-L.
William Poles. We know nothing about him.
From Chicago. He's been around for a little bit.
Have not watched any tape on him or anything, but obviously they saw something in the preseason they liked about him.
Free agent with the Titans in 2014, time with Chicago, Buffalo, and Tennessee in his career.
Yeah, he's a guy who's bounced around a little bit. He's going to be your eighth guy. But they felt like he was more of an upgrade than Patassi or Chris Reed as far as that roster spot. But don't be surprised if that kind of rotates, if there's movement on the bottom end of this roster. We have not seen a lot of that in the past with Dave Caldwell as the GM. But I'll say this, being a part of a Tom Coughlin organization, when we were good, he will rotate the bottom of that roster out constantly, especially when we were building early. If you're, 45 to 53, don't get comfortable. Rent. Do not buy. Rent. Don't move in fully. Rent furniture because it can be a rotating door at the bottom of the roster with Tom Coughlin here.
We'll get to the quarterback coming up as well. Blake Bortles, of course, will start this week against the Houston Texans. Tom Coughlin was asked about Colin Kaepernick. We'll hear those comments coming up, too, a little bit later.
I don't need to hear him. I can tell you what he said.
Let's see if it matches. What do you think he said?
We are not interested.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much. Did the research, not interested.
He could have left the did the research part out. I could have told he was not interested months ago. We talked about it.
So there you have it. We'll get into all that coming up tonight. Your calls in the second hour. 355-NFL1, the number 355-6351. The Tony Vasile Twitter question tonight.
And this is the last show of the year that I will not get angry. There's a 100% chance that I might get angry if we get a bad call. But no pro football talk. Or no is pro football focus. Focus. Talks is the other website, whatever.
This is it, because it's coming next Monday.
Which I'm not happy about. I'm dreading
it
already.
We're going to grade the offensive line against the Texans' defensive front line next week.
Wow. It's a tough match. I mean, we should talk about that a little bit, because they got their hands full.
Because they had, in Houston, they've had guys banged up. They haven't had that whole group together in a long time. Either Clowney's been hurt or Watt's been hurt.
Well, they're all healthy now.
Right.
Whitney Merciless, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt. I mean, who else cares? You have Kareem Jackson outside. You have Jonathan Joseph out there, the two corners, good players. And obviously everyone has been following the news, understands what's happening in Houston with Harvey and the flood and the rescue efforts and how the communities come together. And J.J. Watt's raised $18 million. Started off as a goal of $200,000. He ended up raising $18 million. Unreal. And that place is going to be electric.
Yep.
It's opening day. It's always electric on opening day. Ramp it up about five or six notches, because they're going to be giving away tickets to the first responders and the people of Houston, and you're going to hear Houston Strong.
And here comes the defensive introductions with J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt's going to be running out with the American flag.
His nose is going to be bloody already.
And he's going to have face paint. And he's going to be screaming and flexing. And the place is going to go crazy. And as a player, I've been in those situations. And as an offensive lineman, you understand you're going into a very hostile environment against some of the best defensive players at their position in the NFL. So you're already not sleeping great all week, because you're thinking, okay, we're going on the road. It's going to be loud, silent count, communication. I got great pass rushers. That happens all the time in the NFL, frankly. And as an offensive lineman, you understand that's part of your job. It's, it's kind of your lot in life. It's what you signed up for. But you add on top of that opening day, and you add on top of that the craziness and the emotion that's going to be in that building because of what's happened in that city. And I promise you, if I'm in that offensive line room, I'm looking at every guy and I'm saying, guys, let's get it together in the run game, because we don't want to be in third and 8+ very often, because they're good. It's going to be loud. And if it goes the wrong way, it's not going to be any fun. So let's run the ball and take the air out of the sails. And if you can do that, it changes the entire game. But one thing would be my recommendation, and there's a bunch of guys who played in big games and they've been around in that locker room, but get ready to endure it early. it's okay if it's not going perfect early and they're going out. Just the wave of emotion will calm down, and at some point it just becomes a football game. But if you get rattled early and they sense it, and that fans,
it's over.
Katie barred the door, man. It's going to go the wrong way. So you just got to suck it up and say, here we go, boys. Let's strap it up tight. We got this. If we can run the ball early, we'll take it out early. If we take a couple bumps and bruises early, let's endure it, and let's get to a football game. Because once we start playing a football game, then it's like anything else.
Sweet. Can't wait.
Well, this is part of it.
That's it. That is part of it.
And this is the type of game that if you can play the way that Doug Marrone wants to, you're fine.
You can overcome
play
that.
Great defense, play great special teams, and run the ball.
Control the clock a little bit.
Go win a 17-14, 2017 football game. Because nobody is giving this team a chance this week. Nobody. Just heard, you know, Denny and James sit there and try to give orange slices and trophies to everybody just for hopefully keeping it close. It's ridiculous. This Houston Texan team on offense is no good.
No,
they're not proven.
You got a receiver.
Okay, great. We got two good corners.
I agree.
I'll take Jalen against DeAndre Hopkins all day long, and I'm sure AJ Boye has had plenty of battles with them in practice. Their left tackle still hasn't reported to camp in Dwayne Brown. They're playing a guy in Tom Savage who's not a world beater at quarterback.
Hasn't thrown a touchdown in the league yet.
I mean, give me a break. And their offensive line's average. Lamar Miller's a nice player. If I'm this Jaguar team, I'm thinking we're going to go win. We're going to go steal this thing. We're going to go win this game because our defense is going to shut them down. And yes, their defense is great, and offensively it might be a struggle, but let's not turn the ball over. Let's run it, play good special teams. A punt in this game is not a bad play. You look up, you win this ball game. I think the Jaguars are going to come out and they're going to play well. I really got a feeling they're going to play well, and I think they're going to get a victory on the road.
Punt, cover, field position, play some defense.
Don't play football. They're going to win and nobody is giving them a chance, I don't think. And even the fans. I think the fans, and Denny's right, he was talking earlier on their show, they're frustrated. They're like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. The preseason was bad. It wasn't great. Quarterback controversy, first-round pick, hurt the whole camp. Well, he's back. We got our quarterback, offensive line. Let's settle that down and let's go play some football. Our defense is going to be good. I feel confident about that.
Coming up at Daly's Place, Brian Adams, Saturday, September 9th. Zach Brown Band, Thursday, September 21st.
That hurts that we're missing that.
Oh,
that hurts.
London. Yeah, London week. And then Young the Giant the next night, Friday, September 22nd.
Who?
Young the Giant.
What is that? What kind of music is that, JP?
I don't know. I have to look that
do
up.
Do some research for us, please.
I'm going to guess it's like alternative.
Well, I mean, let's just do some research.
I will.
We got to inform the people what's going on at Daly's Place.
You're going to Brian Adams, right?
I know.
This is
Jaguars. I like Brian Adams. I have no problem with it, though.
Okay.
I like Zach Brown better, and I won't be there. I'll be in London, though. It'll be fun.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Quite frankly, it has been a questionable group going forward, but there was some, I thought some things resolved the other night, even though it was not against starters, but the guys that played did play pretty well. Some of the things that happened, Watford played for the first time, and quite frankly, played pretty well. So we've got some versatility. Shatley played well the other night. That gave us the idea that we have depth at that position. With Patrick playing left tackle the other night, that was a good thing as well. Versatility with Wells being able to be a swing guy. You know, it's a group that we feel we have the best people who competed for positions and jobs in spots where they can help us going forward. And so let's see what happens. Let's go play.
Let's go play, Tony. Tom Coughlin on the conference call Saturday afternoon after the final roster down to 53. The cut. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli. Jaguars Monday. No Pete Frisco. This was supposed to be his final swan song show in the studio before he goes to Fort Lauderdale the rest of the year. But he is sick. He's out tonight. We'll talk to him next week on the line from Fort Lauderdale. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL-1, and the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Get your submissions in at Tony Boselli or at J.P. Shadrick. What did you make of Tom's thoughts there on the O-line there, Tony?
Well, I thought it was interesting. He basically said at the beginning it's a group that hasn't fared too well. I mean, I think that was the quote, actually, or close to it.
Right.
But then he found some positive play and some that things were settled a little bit in the last preseason game.
Sound like Watford is kind of the guy.
Settled. I mean, no one played.
I know, right?
I mean, the interesting thing he said there about being settled, does that mean Watford has a chance to win that left guard job?
The guy's been around the league a little bit. I mean, he's a
4-year player.
Right. He's not like he's some new kid coming in.
No. He's played football before. He's been in games. And so I think he'll be okay. But what I heard there is when he singled out Watford, then I know we talked earlier, Doug said that he hasn't named a starting left guard yet.
Right.
Does that maybe add Watford into the mix of the discussion? I don't think so.
You don't think it's Watford?
I don't think it's Watford. I think it's Omame.
Think it's still Omame?
I do think it's still Omame. But I was about 98% sure it was Omame before I heard that comment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to 92.3%.
That's very accurate.
Yes. Well, I'd like to be point on, spot on, whatever. One of those two. Pinpoint accuracy. How about that?
So Omame's still your favorite.
But Watford's
you're putting odds on the field here.
So Watford has 7.
Shatley's down below.
Yeah, he's
a long shot.
He has 0%.
50-1.
Zero. Zero, zero, zero.
Zero. He's a scratch.
Watford is a 7.7% chance to be the starter, where Omame is 92.3. That's where I got it right now.
But no,
could change by
Watford?
I just said Watford 7.7.
That's it?
Omame's 92.3. As of this moment, this is all new information. I'm just getting this now.
Yeah, I mean, you better adjust.
I could adjust before the end of the show, but right now we're going with that.
On what merit? I mean, what's the basis of your argument? I mean, I guess
Watford's been out all camp,
and he played against twos and threes,
and he played against nobody.
Right.
Played against most guys who aren't playing anywhere right now, or maybe practice squad. And I think Omame had the one bad week.
And he's played a lot of football.
He's played a lot of football, and I thought he was having a good camp, but he's a guy that Doug singled out before that bad week as playing good football. I think that's who they're comfortable with. Not that Watford won't get a chance to earn that job throughout the year if Omame stumbles, but I just got a sense it's Omame. And I could be dead wrong, by the way. I got no one's telling me that. Just
your feel.
Reading tea leaves and the feeling I got.
They stick with Can on the right side?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a...
That's not a done deal.
That's not a solid. I mean, I give him a 98.7% as your starting right guard, and Watford is 1.3%.
What's the margin for error, 0.5?
Yeah, so
give or take.
So it could be zero.
Not all precincts are
not
reporting
all precincts
yet.
Are reporting, but okay. So that's where I see it sitting today. But, yeah, I think A.J. Can starts the season. He's got to play better, though.
But that's one of those where if the starting guards opening day are stumbling, then
you
roll through.
Well, it's much like the quarterback. Yeah. Blake Bortles is the starting quarterback, and last year he was the starter as well, and there was no chance he was getting benched. This year?
There's a chance.
Oh, it's a coin flip, baby.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play well, he's getting benched. No, I hope he plays well. I want to win football games. He needs to play well, or at least smart football, for this team to win. So if he does that, he'll be the quarterback. But I don't think there is going to be a hesitancy to pull him out if the turnovers start stacking up.
Luke Boyko is not going to make it, huh?
I guess not. I think they got what they could for him. I think it's a – I still think Luke Boyko's best position is center. And I think that's – and he got traded to
Baltimore.
Baltimore, and I think that's where he's going to play. That's where I would play him. think he's better at center than guard. He's very athletic, great at the next level, good in his own scheme. He's smart. But they had made the decision they're going with Linder here at center, and they like Shatley because his versatility center and guard and his strength, more of a power player than Boyko. So I think he was going to find himself on the outside looking in, and they got what they could. It's a good, smart trade, and he has a great opportunity in Baltimore where they have center issues. Their center from last year, the MIT guy, can't think of his name, retired because of fear of concussions. So it's wide open, and we could see Luke Boyko in London.
We could.
In a few weeks.
We could. Tyler Shatley. It's a case year after year here, and I love Tyler to death. Good dude. Great dude. But he hasn't been able to crack the starting lineup. Well, he's the strongest guy on the team. What gives you?
What does that mean? You're the strongest. This isn't a weightlifting competition, JP. Give me a break. That's how you're going to judge a guy because he's the strongest guy on the team?
Is the technique is an issue then? What's the issue? Why has he not been able to crack the starting
lineup? Because he's not as good as Brandon Linder. He's not as
even
good
at the guard spot.
He's not as good as AJ Kian or Amame. He is Tyler Shatley is a powerful human being who is a close quarters type of guy and is not very long. So I think when he plays big three techniques, long three techniques, those defensive tackles, I think he can get overwhelmed and struggles a little bit. So he's a nice piece to have. He can come in, he can play, he can get you through games. He's better at center than he is at guard. So, I mean, that's why he's not as good. It's pretty simple. If you're not as good, you're not going to play. I love the disclaimer you made beforehand. I really like Tyler, he's no good. I mean, that's basically what you said.
I was asking why he hasn't been able to crack
the lineup. Basically you said, Tyler, if you're listening, I really like you. You're a really nice guy, but I don't think you're any good because you can't crack the starting lineup. That's what you said.
Okay.
Well, I just think it's rude. I mean, the guy's playing hard. He's trying his best.
I didn't say he wasn't. I was asking you, future Pro Football Hall of Famer,
he's
why?
He's a guy that is a swing. He's a swing guy.
Thank you.
That's what he is. That's what he is right now. He has to learn. If I was a short lever guy like a Tyler Shatley, shorter arms, I would go watch. I'd go watch a guy like Marshall Yanda for the Ravens, who's not a long arm guy who plays great football. And to do that, you have to have really good technique, hands inside hands, and move and good footwork and everything else. So it's not that it can't be done. But you just haven't seen the consistency out of Tyler Shatley and you at that offensive guard position, and he's behind the best offensive lineman at center. So it's tough for him to get at that center position. At guard, I think they want bigger human beings. They want length, and that's what you get out of Amame, especially Amame.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We haven't talked about your small-handed quarterback at SC yet. No, he did. We got to get to that when we come back.
Not a good day.
They won.
You're happy about the Tide.
We're happy.
Special team victory. The
Tide's rolling.
I don't know about rolling, but special team victory.
Rolling right now. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Keelan has, as you know, he has been... He's the kind of guy who has his mind made up when he first came in here as an undrafted free agent. And he spent the entire summer here. He spent every hour, every minute trying to be a better football player. He showed tremendous stamina. He played special teams. He played wide receiver, blah, blah, so on and so forth. So, you know, he's a guy that definitely earned his spot. And hopefully he just keeps getting better.
Tom Coughlin on the conference call Saturday after the cut down to 53. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, no Pete Prisco tonight. He'll be back with us next week.
Did Coach Coughlin just go blah, blah, blah?
I think
did he give us a blah,
blah, I think he
blah,
stopped in the middle.
And, blah.
Yeah.
Joe, can you please cut that for us? We need to keep the blah, blah, blah.
We'll work on that.
That's if something ever, someone says something no one wants to listen to, you just play the blah, blah, blah.
But his,
I thought it was interesting. But I've never heard the blah 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 like from Coach.
It's an undrafted rookie wide receiver who did not play in the fourth preseason game in the roster,
which I thought was a mistake. But that's fine.
He should have played more.
Yes,
even though you know you got to keep him as one of your guys.
Well, you knew you were keeping D.D. Westbrook. He played.
Yeah, true.
You knew you were keeping Aurelius Benn. I believe he played.
Okay, yeah.
So why wouldn't you play Keelan Cole? He's an undrafted rookie. He needs more reps. He had, I agree with Tom. He deserved to make the team. I'm glad he's on the team. But let's not forget, he had a couple big drops, too. He's just a young player that needs reps. I think he's your third receiver right now. So I'm not poor mouthing him or talking bad about him. But he's an undrafted rookie free agent. He's got to
play.
I would have played every rookie, by the way. But outside of Cam Robinson, I would not have played because you don't have a
trouble there.
Well, you don't. Yeah. I mean, yes. And I probably wouldn't have, I mean, you're not going to play the running back either at this point. Leonard Fournette.
Everybody else,
play him.
Let's go.
Let's go. You need reps, baby. You need reps. Mm. You know how you get better at something, JP?
Do it.
You practice
over
it.
And over.
You
and
rep
over.
It out. More reps.
Rep it out.
Rep yeah. it out. Everyone's so afraid about injuries. How about afraid of bad football? That's what I'm afraid of. Bad football.
We've been repping that around here.
And so if you want to get better at football, rep. Practice. More reps. You don't get better hanging out on the sideline, cheering, you know, unless you want to be a cheerleader, which there's nothing wrong with that. I got three daughters who are cheerleaders. It's great. Great sport. But these young guys need reps.
Is this your speech to Episcopal right here?
No,
no. It's a live meeting room right now?
Well, it's much worse.
You can go over there and cheer, or we can block guys. That's what it sounds like right now.
And I wish Pete was here because I'd have the conversation. When did it change when, like, the fourth preseason game was, like, a week off? What year did that change?
That can't be that long ago, right?
I just never.
This was the worst I've seen it in the 5 years, 6 years.
I just don't ever remember, like, everyone being scared to death of everyone getting hurt in the preseason, so we're not going to play anybody. When we played, it was about, you know, got to practice, got to get reps.
It's another practice day, really.
It's just interesting to me. And it's a fine line because if you're a coach and a guy gets hurt, you are a, man, you're an idiot.
Idiot, right.
I get that. As a coach, it's tough. It's a tough position to be in. But I don't know how you get better without playing. I don't know how you get better without practicing. So young guys especially, I would put them out there.
These rookie receivers, a big learning curve when they come in the league.
Yes.
Huge learning curve.
That's why you might, even though I think Keelan Cole's maybe him and Westbrook are probably more talented than Allen Hurns, I think Allen Hurns might occupy that third wide receiver spot for a while until they can be trusted. That might happen.
Hurns has a knack for getting open.
Marquise and...
It took time to get to that point.
Marquise and Allen Robinson are your two starters.
Yeah.
And we'll be interesting to see what they do when they go to their three wide receiver set.
Maybe they'll roll some guys in there,
well,
too.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean,
that's how that works.
Well, you're not keeping six active. Let's just make that clear. And you know Aurelius Benn is active because of special teams. Mm-hmm.
He's a captain, for goodness sake.
Lee and Westbrook are active. That's three. You're keeping five at the most, sometimes four, but let's say you keep five because Aurelius Benn is a – so that's three. If it's Hurns, you're only keeping either Westbrook or Keelan Cole. Only one of them active. Not keeping all six active. No way. Hmm. You only get 45. Two quarterbacks. It'll be interesting to see what they do at tailback, who they'll keep active. Because I know they like Corey Grant, but are you going to keep all four of them active? Plus the
fullback, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Plus the fullback would be five, seven. That's seven. You keep seven offensive linemen active. That's 14. Three tight ends is 17. Yeah. Hmm. If you keep the five receivers, it's 22. Three specialists is 25. Only leaves you 20 defensive players to stay active. The math doesn't add up. If you're going to keep five backs active, then you might only keep four wide receivers active.
Wow. They want to run the ball.
And if you're only going to keep four of the backs up, who sits? Ivory or Yeldon? Corey Grant or Yeldon?
Grant or Yeldon is what it would be.
Corey Grant, Chris Ivory, or Yeldon.
What do you want to get done that day? Do you need more?
Well, I don't think they trust Corey Graham is your third down back. I think it's Yeldon. I think Corey Grant's probably the guy who's down.
We'll see.
That'd be my guess.
We'll see. be fun to see. The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the north side, JTV and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. Quarterback talk.
Here we go.
When we come back, the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night coming up. Your calls, 355-NFL1. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
No, I did. We did the study, the research, and we weren't interested.
Can you explain?
No, I'm not explaining it. I just said what it is.
There he is.
I love it. I love it. Come on, Tom. Let him have it. No, I will not explain it. It is what it is. We did the research. We did the study. We're not interested.
Tom, can I ask a question?
No. I told you, I'm not interested. Nothing to talk about. No, nothing to talk about. I love it. I love when Tom gets all riled up.
Jaguars Monday continues. That's Tony Boselli. If you don't know, I'm JP Shadrick. No Pete Briscoe. He'll be back with us next week on the line from Fort Lauderdale. Yes, that was one of the national storyline out of the press the conference call on Saturday, of course. And you saw that scrolling across the bottom line all Saturday evening.
I did not. I was driving.
Where are you going?
I was in Charlotte. I was in Charlotte for the NC State South Carolina game.
Oh, NC State, the Wolfpack.
They blew it, man.
Yeah.
They dominated the whole game. They blew it.
What happened?
Kick return for a touchdown, long punt return, and a sack, fumble, and deep in their own territory.
How was Charlotte, though, otherwise?
It was good. And then we were driving to, we went to Charlotte that morning, watched the game, and then drove to Raleigh. It was about 2.5 hour drive. Mm-hmm. Stopped some barbecue on the way. It was good.
Very nice.
And spent the day, half day with the son, and drove back Sunday night. So it was good.
It's pretty cool.
It was fun. Fun weekend. So I didn't see any of this of the scroll, but I love – I swear, if I was the GM or coach, I would handle that. I would be – I would that's how I'd handle it. No. Don't ask me any more questions. I told you.
He said they did research. This guy, they looked –
they're
like
right.
Him, you know?
So. Nothing else to say. Don't get – because otherwise you get in the trap of answering their questions and you start saying things that have nothing to do with anything that gets you in trouble. That's what happens. I'm just telling you. It's media, man. We're always trying to trap him.
I think D-Rock was trying to trap him.
He was trying to trap him.
Mike DiRocco.
And you know what he said? D-Rock, shut up. Nothing.
Talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand, D-Rock. You go tell ESPN that. Nothing.
Do you think they're close on any other quarterbacks?
Like No, I don't.
This is the quarterback situation.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but no, they're not. They weren't. I don't think so. Too late. Yeah. This should have been done in January.
Okay.
Or you should have drafted a guy in April. Waited too long. If you're going to do something, you can't do it now.
They're going to draft a guy next year, right?
Okay, but...
I'm just saying, next they're going.
So you think they?
I didn't say that. That was a.
So
was
if
a
you were the GM,
statement.
Would you have drafted someone this year?
Who? When?
First round. Well, are you?
You going to trade up and get one of the big boys, Trubisky? Or are you going to get Mahomes?
Mahomes or Deshaun Watson? You had Kaiser. Maybe you could get him in the second round. Trade up back into the first.
It's an offense that wants to run the football. And manage it around the quarterbacks they had. That was the plan the whole time.
Okay,
you're
going to
draft Mahomes and not get.
So if you're going to do that, okay, fine. Okay, then you better go draft about three offensive linemen.
I agree with that. Yes,
you got to do one. You got to do one or the other.
It's not like they didn't try to address offensive line. They got the Albert in. They drafted Cam. Could have done more. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Could have done a whole lot more. We could do a whole lot more. Every team can do more.
But back to your question: is would you? I don't think they are close to doing anything, and I think it would have been a mistake. I think it would have been if you're going to do that, you have to do it at the beginning of camp. You had to do that 3 weeks ago. Mm. If you were getting the sense that Blake was not going to be your guy, you needed to do it 2 or 3 weeks ago. Not now. It's too late. The hay is in the barn, as they like to say. It's time to go.
You have been in North
Carolina. The work
Carolina,
is done.
Haven't you? Yes.
Now it's time to go play football. You're going to ride with Blake as your starter. That's what you're going to do, and hopefully we get good Blake. Good Blake, you can win football games with good Blake. Good Blake's not thrown to the wrong team. He's athletic. He's big. He's tough. When things break down, he makes plays. I mean, that's the Blake we need.
But that Blake is kind of like the old albino tiger at the zoo. We want to go back to that. It hasn't come out too often.
I don't think it's the albino tiger. I don't think it's that rare.
Well, it's pretty rare. Well, what, he's won 11 games?
Well.
10 games, whatever it is. He's got
more. 11.
Yeah.
Don't bring me the stat about his more pick sixes. It's equal, I think. Let's be fair.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
But, JP, we've known this. Nothing has changed since last year.
I agree.
So I go back
like,
to
Good Blake can win. Well, Good Blake can do this. Well, that's how often have we seen Good Blake? Which I hope you're right.
JP, that's what we got.
Yes.
That's who's playing for us this year. So he's our guy. So you rally around your guy, and Blake's our guy. If you wanted to make a change, you should have drafted somebody or traded for somebody in the offseason or signed a free agent, go make a run at Jay Cutler or somebody else, whatever you're going to do.
Too late now.
It's too late now.
Let's go play.
So that's our guy. We're rallying around him. He's going to lead us to victory. We're going to win Sunday, and we're going to be leading the division after week one.
See you at 1 o'clock at NRG
Stadium. That's right. That's how you have to go. You can't, I mean, trading now? I mean, come on.
Does it tell you anything that he's not a captain for this football team? Does that matter to you?
Do you understand? I mean, how many times do you think Mark Brunell is a captain?
I don't know.
I was asking you, how many times?
Since you brought it up.
Zilch. It really affected us. I mean, we barely got through.
Are you the captain?
I was.
Oh, God.
I think maybe Mark was captain once.
Your whole point is ruined. What are you talking about?
No, once for a game, Tom would
name. You said zero. Oh, none. Ever.
Tom would name different captains every game.
Well, that's a totally different world then. Huh? I asked you on a player vote.
Oh, we never did player votes.
This is a player vote.
Oh, it is a player vote.
I believe it's a player vote.
You sure about that? You want to go with that?
Yes.
Joe's shaking his head.
Yes.
Does that mean anything?
It's a player vote.
It does mean something there. I thought it was named by the.
You just made it up?
Well, no. Sometimes the coaches name the captains.
Sometimes they do. Yeah. Not this time.
Player vote, does it mean anything? It means that there's other guys in that locker room that are more respected for their leadership than Blake Bortles.
Mercedes Lewis and Brandon Linder are the offensive captains. Puz and Telvin are the defensive captains. And Aurelius Ben is the special teams captain.
Those don't surprise me all that much. They don't surprise me. Would you like your quarterback to be the captain? Yes. Does he need to be the leader of the offense? Yes.
You can do that without the C on your jersey.
You can do without the C, but you need to be viewed as the guy. In a healthy locker room, the quarterback is viewed as the guy on the offense. That's how it needs to be. So Mark was not the captain, per se, because Tom didn't name him the captain.
Because you were, of course. Well, I mean,
obviously.
Who beats out Tony for the captainship?
I mean, Mark was in my shadow, and he understands it. It's okay.
Still is.
Yeah, he still is. More ways than one.
Here's the official release.
So. Oh, sorry.
Jaguars have announced their captains for 2017. You got Lewis, Linder, Posluszny, Smith, and Ben. The captains were voted upon by the Jaguars' 53-man roster Sunday, September 3rd.
So what if you got cut the fourth? You actually got say in the captain vote, and then you got cut.
To see you. Okay. Brandon Allen probably had a vote then got whacked.
So the quarterback needs to be the leader of the offense. Mark was not the captain, per se. He didn't go for the coin toss. They didn't do that portion. He wouldn't have had a C back then how Tom did it. But if you asked who was the leader of the offense, we had a bunch of leaders. Yes, Jimmy and Keenan and myself, you know, guys like Leon Searcy, were leaders or one of the leaders. But the guy we looked to was the quarterback. He came in. He took control of the huddle. He directed us. It was his show. And that's how it has to be. And so the fact that they didn't vote him as a captain, does it say something? Absolutely. But whether he has a C on his, he better have the mindset, this is my offense, this is my team, and I'm going to go lead these guys. Because that's his job. That's part of the, if you're writing out a resume or a job description for a quarterback, leader is one of the bullet points that better be there.
And that's what Doug Marrone said through the whole job opening again. We need somebody to lead this offense.
I think Joe's asking for it back to
you. Oh, it's time to go. Okay. PRI Productions is the official event production company of the Jags. They have everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. We'll come back for the second hour. Tony Boselli, Twitter question of the night. Your calls, 355-NFL1. How do you block the Texans' defensive front? We'll find out when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
like I said, to me, it's just football and go out there and block him. I mean, I watch a little film, and you know, I take away some tips. I'm not gonna give away too much of my strategy now, but you know, I watch a couple different things. It's just, you know, prepare for all those guys, be ready for what all those guys bring, and ultimately just be ready to go out there and play football.
Cam Robinson today in the locker room.
Did he say he's just gonna watch a little bit of film? We better watch more than a little bit, my man. I think he's just talking off the cuff. Cam Robinson's gonna be a good football player.
And those were three different answers put together.
Oh, they were. Okay. So, Cam, I apologize. I didn't know that the media machine was taking your quotes out of context and putting them together.
I didn't want to run the second and a half answer that Cam, I got to go block them.
I apologize, okay. Cam, that I didn't know we were working with the fake news outlet of J.P. Chadwick cheating the quote.
Just what I need.
Well, I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. Sorry, Cam. Cam Robinson's a good football player. He has a chance to be very good. He's got to continue to work on his technique, and he has a great test this week against did he play against Jadeveon Clowney as a freshman?
I don't think so. I think
because Cam stayed all 4 years, right? Or did he leave early?
He left early.
So he started 3 years. So he wouldn't have been there with Jadeveon.
He missed it.
So he's got Jadeveon Clowney, power player.
Not Miles Garrett last year.
Well, I'm not talking about who's in place.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He got Jadeveon Clowney, who's a power player. I would short set him. Take away. Don't let him get started. Not overly elusive.
Short set.
More on the line of scrimmage. Don't get too much depth. Okay. Whitney Merciless is a power player. I'd sit deeper, more vertical against him. Make him run me over. And then do not get fooled by the size of J.J. Watt thinking he's a power player. He's not.
He's not.
He's a great – now, he has some power, but that's not his game. His game is – he is a great finesse. His quickness and his, you know
– get around you.
Arm over move and his inside move is outstanding. So stay square. Maybe not as vertical with Whitney Merciless, but get vertical and make him bring the power to you. Don't get overextended. Don't lean, because as soon as you do, he's going to beat you. So I'd play him. And in the run game, I tried to beat the hell out of every single one of them as much as I could.
Can Cam play like that, though? We know how you'll play him.
Yes, he's athletic enough, yes. Now, does he have the experience yet? No. And would I have been thinking like that as a rookie? No, I'd have been out there as a rookie saying, I'm just going to set and just fight my rear end off and see where we end up at the end of the day. but that he has the ability to do that. He has the size and the strength. And I mean, he's long. He's longer than I was in the sense of his just his body makeup. So he does have that ability. He needs to watch film. He needs to really study it, understand what he's doing, understand what the – hold on. Just stop for a second. Hollywood, if you're going to show the guy we're talking about in a positive light, you don't have to show a play of him getting knocked down. Watch the videos and don't play crap like that ever again of the offensive line. You got me? I'll come in there and beat you. I'll take those chips away from you. Stop stuffing your face with food and pay attention, because I got a guy I'm talking about up highly, and he's falling down, making him look bad and me look bad. Get it right, Hollywood.
Video on Jaguars.
Sorry. I apologize to all the radio people that don't know what I was talking about, but if you're watching us on the web.
How sensitive are we on the O-line?
Yeah, take it. Don't make us look bad. We can do that all by ourselves, Hollywood.
So what you're saying is forget about the player. This is making you look bad.
Well, I said both of us. I said both. Yeah, I said
Cam,
both.
Cam, whatever. Yeah, really, both. It's about Tony.
I said both. So, So he needs to watch the film, and he needs to get in there and really study and have a game plan. This is what I think a lot – this is the progression of being from a young to an older player and really learning, evolving in your craft. When he was at Alabama, he just was better than everybody. So yes. Just go play.
That's right.
Just block and just beat
them
up.
Roll the ball out. Let's go.
Yeah. Right. Yep. That's not the case anymore. He's going to be blocking three pass rushers who are very good players. Got a lot of sacks in their careers, especially Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt. Jadeveon Clowney is not a great pass rusher. He's a great football player. He does a lot of good things. So you have to have a game plan. Watch a lot of tape. And you should watch the tape in two different ways. Watch your one-on-one matchup and learn tendencies and what the guys you're watching like to do. And don't watch preseason because you'll get lulled to sleep. Mm-hmm. Go watch last year and go back 2 years ago to watch J.J. Watt tape. That's one. Two, You want to watch the defense in its entirety to learn about what guys will do based on what they like to do in certain situations, and can you get a read from the linebackers positioning, gap positioning, or whether they're bossed over strong or weak, if they bring a safety down. Does that tell you anything about the front? Are they going to slant on this play because of the linebacker position based on that coverage or whatever? Are they going to do different things? When do they twist? And so get as much knowledge as you can all week so that when you Saturday night, as you sit there and start visualizing what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, you can start playing the game in your head. So the first time you get out there on Sunday isn't the first time you've seen it. You've seen it, you've visualized it, you know what you want to do, and you know what to expect. It'll give you a much better chance of success, especially on the road in a tough situation. But it's a great test for Cam Robinson. I think he'll be fine. Does that mean he's going to be perfect? Does that mean he's not going to get beat? No. And if people look at this game and look at this young man and say, oh, he gave up a sack, hit a bad game, shame on you. You don't know football. Watch it in its entirety. Watch what the kid does. He's a good football player. I believe he will be a good pro. I think he'll learn, and he has a chance to be one of the better left tackles in the NFL.
Can you run against this front?
Yeah, run against anybody. Block it up right, you can. That's why we drafted Leonard Fournette, JP.
You wanted to draft a quarterback just 5 minutes ago.
No, I said all along, even before, I would have gone a different direction, but I'm not the GM, so it doesn't matter. And I think Leonard Fournette was the best back, and if that's where you wanted to go, that's the guy you pick.
Yes.
And I think he's a heck of a football player. So, but this is why you drafted him.
That's right.
You want him. Now, in a perfect world, you'd like to have him 25 to 30 carries in a game like this. I don't think he's ready for that physically. He sat out all camp. Is the conditioning going to be there?
He had 9 snaps, right?
I mean, I just don't think he's going to be ready for that. So you're going to have to rotate. You're going to limit his carries. Unless he just gets hot and he's rolling, I would be surprised more than 20 carries. That'd be a lot for a first game with not a lot of preseason, not a lot of conditioning under your belt. But they need to run the rock, and they need to get him going, and they need to get him going early. I'd like to see some throws on first down to try to soften them up. I don't think you can just line up and just say run first down, run second down. Let's put Blake in third and, you know, long, medium to long.
Yeah, that seemed like a preseason play call kind of
JP,
thing,
I already told you, don't believe anything you've seen.
That's what I'm saying,
don't believe it.
We just got to run. Here's this. Right.
And remember, you're playing against a new defensive coordinator as well, Mike Vrabel.
Right.
It's going to be basically Romeo's still there. Romeo Crennel's still there. It's basically going to be that same 3-4 look. That's what he knows. Will there be nuances that are different maybe because of the change in coordinator? Possibly. Vrabel might bring some different things, but I expect the basic 3-4 defense. They're going to give you a lot of different looks on third down, blitz-wise. They're going to line up. They're going to slant here and there, but I'd get it going, man. I like that they got the fullback now in Bohannon.
Mm-hmm.
Line up an eye, turn around, let's run some ISO right at him, right at the guard bubble. Double that nose up to the backside backer, base that defensive tackle, whether it's, I don't care if it's defensive end, I don't care if it's JJ or whoever's the other defensive end, I haven't even looked at their boards yet, and lead up on Bohannon on that Mike linebacker, and let's give it to Leonard Fournette, and let's see what we got. Let him drop a little bit. Hmm. Let's let him drop and line up and see what happens. So I used to love that ISO play. You play that 3-4, get a guard bubble. Put me one-on-one at the end, double that nose up to the backer, and let's put the fullback on the linebacker and go to work. But you got to be physical. You got to take it. And what that does, it also takes the rush out of him. Beat him, man, early. And if you're watching the game, and I'm going to remind myself of this as well, don't get frustrated if the first 5 runs are averaging 2 yards a carry.
Right, just got to keep pounding.
You got to keep on pounding, man. And I hope Doug Marrone tells Nathaniel Hackett that. We are going to run the ball. And if we get some ones and twos and threes, we are going to pound them and pound them and pound them because the fours, the fives, and the tens are coming. That's the way this team is built. You can't forget that. You can't go into the game and all of a sudden saying, we're not running the ball early. Let's spread it out, because I can hear the talk show radio, and I can hear the fans, and I can hear us saying,
Prisco.
Oh, let's spread them out. Oh, it's not working. And that's not how you were built. Remember who you are.
The field.
Bust them in the mouth, bust them in the mouth, bust them in the mouth. I'm not saying you don't throw on first down. I'm not saying no play action on first down. I don't think you take some quick shots. Not at all. But this team is built to bust them in the mouth. You cannot all of a sudden say, we're gonna be, you know, the greatest show on turf and air it out all over the field. It doesn't work.
What? So you're First, offense runs on the field. Your first play of the year is?
Oh, if I'm running out the first play of the
year. Right now.
I'm going ISO. I'm lining
going
up.
ISO.
Or they might call it could be lead week. It could be boss. I mean, but I'm leading. I'm putting a full back in the backfield. I'm lining up Leonard Fournette 7.5 yards deep. I'm turning and handing off, and I'm telling my offensive line, come off the ball and let's hit them in the mouth. That's what I'm doing. And I might do it the second down, and I might do it on third down. I don't care. I got to set the tempo. We are going to be physical. This is who we are. And I want my guys, and the message to my team the night before, and Doug Marone's an old offensive line coach, and he's an offensive lineman. He gets it. The game is on the back of the offensive line. You're playing the best defense. They don't think you're worth a crap. We are going to put it on your backs, and we're running the ball. Challenge that group. Challenge that group. Because you can't go into Houston and spread it out. I just don't see that happening.
Not an environment like that.
No,
especially.
Not with this team. Not with the way we're built. That's not who we are. So you got to be who you are. Now, I'm not saying you can get creative and get in some different formations and try to outflank them and create leverage and different things that, you know, that you see on film. I'm not talking about how you do it, but you got to be physical in this game. It's the only way they can win.
You know, I'm excited, and we talked about this earlier, I think off the air. And a week from tonight, at this very moment, we'll be grading the offensive line from Pro Football Focus. Are you ready for that?
No,
are you excited?
I'm not. I don't like that. You know,
one
that.
Week from tonight.
I don't like that.
At this exact moment.
After they watch the game tape off TV.
Yeah.
Great. TV copy. Let's judge the offensive line on
TV
copy.
So we'll see exactly how well they did.
That's like Hollywood Hawkman playing bad video of offensive linemen. It's about the same.
What kind of PFF grade does Hawkman get?
For them? They probably give him like a 20, a high grade. I give him a negative 20, whatever the lowest grade is. Be interesting.
It will.
Now we're showing guys who aren't even on the team anymore. It's a heck of a video right there.
Hollywood Hawkman, our director and producer for Jaguars.
I love you, Hollywood.
Hey, let's come back.
Maybe if you weren't eating so much food back there, you'd be paying attention a little bit more.
Our thanks to Chris Sutton, by the way, from the foundation for
yes, Chris, thank you.
That's real nice. We appreciate it. So let's come back. All the submissions are in for the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night. We'll pare those down and get a winner when we return. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, you just have to step back some time and say, man. Because at every position, we just really want to line up and say, you know, try us. Wherever you want to try and take the ball, you try, and we're gonna stop it. And that's something that in a sense, you have to not get complacent and say, you know, we got the guys and things like that. You got to continue to work, which we are. And that's something that I got so much respect for the guys around me. Because with this talent and this hard work, these championships are going to come.
It sounds like a defensive captain right there. It is. Telvin Smith, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli. No Pete Prisco tonight. He's back with us next week. Jaguars Monday.
I love that. I like what he said. I love it. Basically, we're going to line up and try us anywhere you want. I thought that was just – I love that. I really enjoy Telvin. I think he is a leader. I think he's a
– Do you pay him?
I would. I mean, I don't know what that means. I don't know what the going market is for a weak side linebacker is, but I think he's one of the foundational pieces you need to keep, in my opinion. I don't think you can let him go. In fact, I probably already would have signed him.
Already?
Yes. Yeah. You got to build a team, you got to sign your draft picks. You can't just
– This every, we know, yes.
Every 4 years, you can't just turn over guys.
We've been through this.
One, you got to hit on draft picks. Well,
I feel like we talked about this over the last decade.
We didn't hit on any of the draft picks 4 years ago, or that would have been their fifth year this year, the Luke Joe class.
2013.
Yeah. Gone. So that foundational piece is out. The next year you have basically Blake, Marquise, Allen, Linder, Telvin. Sign Linder, you got to sign Telvin.
You signed Telvin before A-Rob?
I would. You don't have cap issues, so it's not like you have to, at the end of the day, choose one or the other. But I think I let it play out a little bit this year with both Because are you 100% sure you want to sign A-Rob over Marquise?
That's right. You don't know.
You don't know. So I'd let this thing play out.
But either way, you would have signed Telvin.
I would sign Telvin right now.
Telvin, no matter what.
Yes.
And then figure out the receivers later.
Figure out the receivers, what you want to do, because you have two good young receivers. I don't think you can sign both of them. And so you're going to have to choose. Because if they both have good years, both are going to want a lot of money. And I just don't think you can lock up that much money in the wide receiver position. So maybe you can. I don't know. I haven't looked at the cap space exactly what it is as of late or what it's going into next year. And a lot of that also depends on quarterback. What if Blake comes out and throws 35 and touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and has a great year? Well, now you got to pay him.
That's true, yeah.
And so we'll see
the
where
option
this
comes in.
You'll see where, I mean, he's going to make 19, but you're going to probably want to, you know.
Renegotiate and go longer?
Or
maybe?
It's still $19 million against the cap. It's a lot of money. So you let it play out, see where it goes. On the offensive side of the ball with those three. But I would have already signed Telvin. I think he's a really good football player.
Defense has not been on the field together this whole preseason. The corners have been out. They'll be fine, right?
I mean, well, they'll come back. You keep on saying everyone's going to be fine.
They'll be fine, right? That's the feeling. Hey, they're going to be okay. Is that true?
Well, they're good players. I know that. So you give good players the benefit of the doubt. So I'll go with that.
Okay. That's what everybody's going with right now. That's why I said it.
But, I mean, is the word – I mean, well, I guess
– sounds like everybody's a go.
Did they practice today?
They were on the field today. Now, but how hard we don't
get a practice report till Wednesday, correct?
Wednesday is the first injury report.
So that'll be interesting to see Boye, Ramsey, where they are on that, if they're even on the report. Because we have not seen Boye since the first practice of New England.
That's right.
He practiced that first practice and – a injury that we were told was minor kept him out all of preseason. Some minor, I understand they don't have to tell us anything, so I'm not mad at them. I get concerned when everyone says, we'll be fine.
That's what everybody's saying.
I
right
don't
now,
believe
right?
the we'll be fine story.
You don't.
I don't think it's a good model to live life by as a football player.
Right.
We'll be all right.
That'll
we got
out.
It. We'll figure it out. I don't buy that. I don't. So, now, are they good players? Absolutely. Give them the benefit of the doubt? Absolutely. But if you're telling me there's going to be zero rust after not playing any football, I don't buy it. I hope I'm wrong.
Jalen played a little bit.
He did.
What, a drive or two? One drive. Colvin got some snaps last week.
Very helpful.
So,
but Boye hasn't played at all.
Boye hasn't played.
And they've not played all together one snap.
No, right. So the back end of your defense hasn't played with the front end of your defense.
Well, the back end hasn't played with each other.
But, right.
They haven't played about playing with anybody.
Even on the stationary bike back here.
So.
Can it come fast, though?
Yes. Because they're really good players. It can come fast. But I just don't like hearing everyone say, we'll be all right.
That's fine.
We got it.
Yeah, we got this.
Nah, I don't like that.
We got this. Week one. That's okay.
Makes me nervous.
We'll figure it out.
With that said, I think the defense is going to have a good showing, and I think they'll shut down the Houston Texans. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game.
Like 9-6 or something?
No. 17-14, 14-10, 17-10, 20-17. I think first team to 20 wins.
Wow. Yeah. We've had a few of those with the Texans over the years, right? I mean, that's kind of how it's gone.
The problem is we haven't got to the 20.
We haven't got to the 20. Yeah. Hey, it's time for the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
All right. Where is it?
From Kayak Fish. He's from North Carolina. Where did you get your barbecue when you were in North Carolina last week?
In between Charlotte and Greensboro, there's a little town called Lexington, North Carolina. And I went to Lexington Barbecue. That's what it's called. It had the highest rating on Google. And it was an interesting place. They had only pork shoulder, so pulled pork. And you could get it in different ways. You could get it in chunks, chopped, pulled, I mean, all the different ways. With a very vinegar-based barbecue sauce. Very good. With barbecued coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding. And some of the best hush puppies I've ever had in my life.
North Carolina hush puppies are fantastic.
Unreal.
They really are. Like cake.
I honestly could have just sat there and ate hush puppies. Very good baked beans. It was a great meal.
Lexington Barbecue is known as the Honey Monk or the Monk by locals, apparently. It's been there since 1962.
Good food.
By Wayne Monk was the
What kind of ratings they got?
Oh, I don't know. I'm on their website.
Yeah, it's very good food. I recommend it. If you're driving from Charlotte to Greensboro or Charlotte to Raleigh, stop at Lexington Barbecue. Nice people, too. Some of the sweetest people. We got there at 9:05. They closed at 9:30. And they hung in there and served us until we were done eating.
I will say, you're going to be making some trips to North Carolina this year. So you'll be going up 95 to Raleigh.
Yes, that's how you get there, JP.
Well, when you get off 95 to go to Raleigh to cut up.
I'm 40.
Wilson, North Carolina is right there.
Good barbecue there.
I spent a summer in Wilson, North Carolina. It is the home of Eastern North Carolina barbecue. Parker's on Highway 301.
And what is the difference between Eastern Carolina and
there's
Western?
There's subtle differences, but I'm not from North Carolina, but that's just the thing. I don't know.
All right, yeah.
Parker's is there, and then Bill's is there for the pig pickings out on the buffet.
What's better, is Bill's or Parker's?
I'm more of a Parker's guy.
So go to Parker's Barbecue in Wilson, North Carolina.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
I'll be there.
I'm sure you will. And you'll be there. You'll be back on the doctor commercials here soon, right?
Yeah.
If you keep eating like that.
My weight's fine. The hush puppies are a little much. That hurt.
Plate full of those.
Yeah.
It'll get you. So, so there you have it. The Twitter question of the night. We'll do that again on Thursdays, too, because the Thursday show cranks back up this week. The Doug Marone show at 6 o'clock. And then at 7,
I'll be in New England.
Jaguars Thursday. You'll be in New England for Thursday night football. You'll be on the sideline, though, for Westwood One, right?
Yeah, opening day I do sideline. The rest of the year I'm in the booth. So I'll be joining the Thursday night show for 7 to 7:45. All year from whatever city I'm in.
Not this week.
Not this week. I'll be in for just one segment this week because I'm on the sideline, so okay. I can't be in the booth. It does not sound as good on my phone, but I'll be in the booth every other Thursday, so 7 to 7:45. Be joining, and we'll do a little preview of the Thursday night game.
I like it.
It'll be good. A lot of good stadiums, a lot of fun places to go this year.
A lot of good games, too.
Better Thursday night games than in the past, looking at the schedule.
Yeah, well, a couple reasons why that aren't on the schedule on Thursday nights, I could tell you.
We'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Let's come back and let's go around the National Football League early tonight.
Are no calls tonight? We don't have any calls. That is Labor Day.
Labor Day. Everybody's on the boat.
All right.
Barbecue.
Well, if you want to call, you can call.
355-NFL-1 is the number. Or hit us on Twitter at JP Shadrick, at Tony Vaselli. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
And the challenge this week, obviously, is you have the extra day, but it's not going to be like a normal week. I just always remind the player that, they'll have twice as much information and twice as much practice, when you come back in and Wednesday's your tough work day. Yep. So there's a lot of transition to that.
Doug Marone today, he spoke with the media after practice. Jaguars Texans coming up Sunday at NRG Stadium in Houston, week one of the National Football League season for 2017. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, no Pete Prisco tonight. He'll be back with us next week. You'll be here in studio next week, and Pete will be in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I'm here every Monday. Oh, except for... every Monday, but when we're in London... After the London game, I'm staying for an extra couple days to do some different things.
That's right.
And I'll be doing the show with y'all. I'll be on the you'll be here. Pete will be in South Florida. I'll be in London. We'll all be connected by video and the magic of radio technology.
Isn't it a grand? It really is.
Is that right? No.
Kind of.
Hollywood's saying, don't get too excited about that. So we'll all be doing it somehow together. How about that?
Writing checks we can't cash.
Well, maybe not all video. We'll be all on the audio. How about that?
We'll all be speaking English together.
We'll have a picture of me up on the video.
Let's take an early look around the National Football League. Oh, we got a phone. Hold on. We'll get to that. No. Yeah, I'm sorry. We'll get to the phone call first. There was a phone call.
He's confused,
apologies.
Joe. Sorry.
I'm very confused. On the line tonight, 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Atlantic Boulevard driving. Alex, keep it between the lines. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How you guys doing? What's going on, Tony? It's been a long time.
Doing great, Alex.
What's up?
I have two questions for you guys. Would have been smart to pick up Alex Boone to cover the left guard position that we have a problem with.
I've not watched Alex Boone during the preseason. He struggled last year. He was a big free agent pickup from San Francisco. Did not have a great year last year. I would have definitely kicked the tires on him. I'm not sure if anyone ended up signing him or not, though.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't pay the money that he was asking for, but I think it would have been a pretty good look. Second question, with all the depth at wide receiver and all the backs that we have in the backfield, were you thinking it would have been smart to trade Hearns and Ivory to pick up a quarterback that would be a safety net just in case, you know, Blake doesn't have a good showing and give us opportunity to continue to win?
I don't know about
I don't think we would have got much for either of those.
Plus, those are two guys that are kind of starting for you, right? I mean, if Ivory's out there, or not starting, but he could be out there half the time as your tailback, and Hearns could be your third receiver, and you're going to trade those guys that are going to be on the field a lot for a backup guy? I don't know. It seems kind of stretch. Am I thinking that?
No, I don't think you would have got that much for them. So I don't. I mean, if you could have got a third or fourth rounder, maybe, yeah, you'd do it. But I don't think you're getting that.
There you have it. Thanks for the call tonight from Atlantic Boulevard, Alex. A couple of good ones there.
Yeah, those good questions.
Yeah,
Joe was acting like they were going to be bad questions. I don't know what his problem was.
Way to go, Joe. Let's go around the National Football League. Couple of segments to go here, so yeah, let's start off with the Colts. Andrew Luck will not play Week 1. Chris Ballard made the announcement today, the GM. So Scott Tolzien it is for Indianapolis. How long do you think this goes on?
Well, if you're a Colts fan, hopefully not long. If you're a Jaguar, Titan, or Texan fan, you hope for the rest of the year because they're not going to win very many games with Scott Tolzien as their quarterback. And it's got to give you pause if you're the Colts. Here's a guy who had shoulder injury last year, missed the end of the year, has the surgery to correct it, and we're sitting here in September, and he's just now starting to throw the ball. That would worry me if my starting quarterback had surgery on his throwing arm 7-8 months ago, and he's still not ready to go. That's concerning.
Twitter question, Silas Samuel asking thoughts on Colts getting Brissett and the Pats getting Dorsett. Good or bad for either team?
I think it's a win for the Patriots. It's a win for the Patriots in the sense Brissett is your third quarterback. If you're to your third quarterback, that's not a recipe for long-term success. You like your backup in Garoppolo. And Philip Dorsett, the burner out of Miami, who's been underwhelming as a pro so far, but can fly, another guy who can stretch the field. Losing Edelman, you have Brandon Cooks on one side. You have Dorsett is another guy who can really get vertical. You have Amendola working underneath. You have, obviously, Gronk, who can do whatever he wants. With Hogan, the other. I mean, I really like the move. For the Colts, Brissett is a guy that I like him, but how quickly is he going to learn the offense and be able to make any impact on this team this year? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's a win for the Pats.
So far, it seems that way. The Bucs-Dolphins game this Sunday could be moved. They are monitoring the situation with Hurricane Irma out in the Atlantic, but
it's coming.
Forecast models say it's going to hit South Florida at some point.
Well, it could hit South Florida. It could stay south of them, hammer Cuba, and then work up into the Gulf and hit Tampa. And there's another scenario that could take a hard right and work all the way up the East Coast, and we might be getting some high winds and rain. So those things have a mind of their own. I mean, I appreciate the meteorologists who are trying to figure it out, but I guess – as they get closer, you really got to pay attention. You got to be safe. You got to buy the right water and batteries and generators and all that stuff.
Get the hell out of Dodge.
And take off if you need to. But we're looking, are we not over a week away at this point? About? I don't need, as I'm watching the FedEx playoffs of golf, for the break-in emergency weather information about Hurricane Irma that's nowhere near me right now.
But it could be soon.
Not for a while, JP. Not enough.
You got a family of what, seven?
Not enough to break up when I'm watching golf or any other sporting event or a TV show.
it's never too early to be prepared.
Well, I hope all Floridians were prepared always with water and all that kind of stuff, at least the basics. But it's a long way off, and we're nowhere near its path right now.
It's like less than a week away.
So you're no, I think it's more than a week before it would get here, or about a week. So you're saying you think it's prudent to break in to have a special report on Labor Day to let me know about something that could be happening next Monday?
If there was a change in the forecast track,
there wasn't.
Model, which there probably was.
No, there was not.
I bet there
no,
was.
There wasn't.
It had to be something. Yeah.
No.
Either that or something. Either way, they're talking about moving the game. The ESPN reporter in Tampa Bay that covers the Buccaneers throughout, they may could play it Thursday or Friday, which seems a little quick, you know?
That's we'll hard
see.
To do.
Yeah, maybe they'll have to flip it or go somewhere else. So we'll see what
hurricane
happens.
Hurricane season.
Down south.
It's always, we've had, I remember in 99, I think it was, we had a Hurricane Barron down on us. We were playing the Carolina Panthers that week, and we had to, people were staying in the stadium, and there was evacuation of the beaches, and ended up not hitting us directly, and it was more of a scare. It bounced up to, but you had to prepare through it. If you're a professional football player, you got to get your family safe, take care of it. That's what Houston's been dealing with. Now Miami with Irma coming, maybe Tampa, possibly up here. That you have to take care of business, have your family ready, but you have to prepare for the task at hand because that's coming. They're going to play the game somewhere on Sunday. So as a player, you got to be ready. Let them worry about, let the football ops guys, let the NFL worry about where. You worry about the fact that you're going to be on a field somewhere. You got to be ready to play.
Speaking of hurricanes, at a hurricane relief event in Houston, Dwayne Brown, the Texans left tackle who has not been in camp yet, said he will play this season, but he would not commit to win. It's not really surprising, I guess.
No, it's a big loss. I mean, he wants more money, and I understand
$7 million this year?
I think he's at 6.6, 6.8, okay. Just about 7. He wants more money. He feels like he's one of the better left tackles in football. He is in the upper echelon. I don't know if he's the best. Or where he ranks. Before he got hurt, I think he was a little bit better. But he still had a very good year last year. And he wants to be paid. They're playing a game of chicken right now. They're looking at each other. And Houston's not blinking, and neither is Dwayne Brown. And guess what? That's good for the Jaguars. Because Dwayne Brown won't be on the field Sunday.
Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler will.
Yes, they will.
Be
JP.
On the field.
I don't think they're having contract disputes right now.
Let's go back to the phone line. 355 NFL One. Paul is in Nassau County, I believe. Paul, good evening.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to ask Tony's opinion on D.D. Westbrook. What's his upside?
What's his upside? He can absolutely fly. Great speed, good hands. I think he's an above-average route runner for a young receiver. Going to get better. Dangerous in the open field and a very good returner.
Do you think he'll be the return guy?
I don't know if they trust him yet enough. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure.
You got to throw him out there and try it.
It's a great question. I think what they want to see out of him is he reliable. He had some injuries back and forth and, you know, a bunch of stuff going on. And as a rookie, one of the things that you have to prove to your coaches and to the entire organization is that you're trustworthy. They can count on you. And I think that's where D.D. Westbrook is right now. He's trying to earn that trust.
I think he did pretty well in the preseason. Not that preseason counts for much, Tony. I
played well. I didn't say anything. Yeah. I said you could tell.
About to roll your eyes at me.
I said you can tell things about individual players, and I think you did see that he's a guy who has a lot of upside and a lot of talent. Hence why he's on the team.
Hence, indeed.
Hence.
Yes. Let's come back. A little more of a look around the National Football League when we return. Coming up at Daly's Place, Brian Adams, Saturday, September 9th. Zach Brown Band, Thursday, September 21st. Young the Giant, Friday, September 22nd. A full schedule and tickets available at dailysplace.com. Our final moments when we return. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We're back. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jaguars Monday. Join us Thursday. The Doug Marone Show at 6 o'clock on the entire Jaguars Radio Network. That's an hour. And then Jaguars Thursday from 6 to 7, no, 7 to 8 o'clock. It's been a while since we've had it. That's on here on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, the Jaguars app, and all the rest. Also coming up Wednesday on Jaguars.com, shows around press conferences, Jaguars.com Live. We'll have later in the week, we'll have Inside the Jaguars and a lot of new content this year on the team website, Jaguars.com.
Exciting stuff.
Yes, it is. It always is. Welcome back, Tony. Glad you could make it.
Where was I?
I don't know. Where were you? You tell us. But we're glad you're here.
Top secret.
Glad you're here. Let's continue our look around the National Football League. The Rams claim Brandon Allen. We mentioned this at the top of the show. They claimed him off waivers. Greg Olsen, of course, the quarterback coach for the L.A. Rams.
Doesn't mean much of anything. In the short term, maybe long term, I'm surprised they let him go. But they obviously did not view him anywhere close to Chad Henne. I thought it was very close at the end. I thought they'd keep him, see if he could earn their trust and maybe end up being the backup at some point. But not to be.
Another Jaguars cut was claimed. Hayes Pillard, the third, claimed by the Chargers.
Chargers have all kinds of quarterback issues. I mean, not quarterback, linebacker issues. They're fine at quarterback with, obviously,
okay.
Philip Rivers. But Perryman, their best linebacker, is on IR. Mid-season return is going to happen for him. They had a couple free agents, I know, at the end of training camp starting for them. So wouldn't be surprised if Hayes Pillar is actually starting Monday night when they play the Denver Broncos.
T.J. Ward was cut by the Broncos, and the Pro Bowl safety not happy about it. He was speaking to Bucks reporters, and he called the Broncos unprofessional. The way they handled his cut.
What did they do exactly? Do you know, JP?
I don't know exactly.
Well, I think you heard on social media a lot of the Bronco players not happy about him being cut. And that he is a popular guy and a guy that I think people felt like, or at least teammates, wanted him there. There was a lot of speculation going on even before he got cut. Maybe he's talking about that, the whispers that they didn't talk to him, that he heard through it, through the media. It's part of the game. It's part of the business end of it that no one likes. The report was he got about $500,000 more than he would have made this year in Denver. My advice always is when you get cut by a team, don't burn bridges, because you never know when you're going to cross paths with a front office person or a coach who's on that roster.
Or on that team.
Absolutely. Don't burn bridges. Doesn't do anything. Saying negative stuff about people does nothing to help you. Only can hurt. Might make you feel better in the short run, but it's not going to help you in the long run.
Odell Beckham out of practice today. The Giants and the Cowboys get going this week. That was a scarier looking play than I think it turned out to be, the injury to Odell Beckham. What was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. I don't think it was anything.
Like it was really bad, but it's an ankle.
I think he's fine.
Yeah.
They weren't going to play him the last preseason game anyways. So I think they'll be just fine.
That's good news, because that was scary when he left that field. We got to talk J.J. Watt here, and not just we've talked about him on the field all night long, but everything he's done in Houston. A $200,000 goal is now $18.5 million, and he hasn't touched any of the funding yet. He's donated 5 truckfuls of donations already in the last day or so. So he's been spending his last 2 days helping out in Houston, which is the right thing to do, and the entire team has helped out in that community too.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it started off him putting up $100,000 and matching the first $100,000 that came in. And then next thing you knew, he was at $1 million, and he said, well, let's try to get $2 million. And you look up, several days later, a week later, he's at $18.5 million. A great job from him using his platform, a lot of it through social media to raise money. And I'll tell you what, the task he has now is he has to give all that money away and making sure it gets to the right place. I'm sure he has people on his foundation that will help him with that. And hats off to J.J. Watt, the entire Texans organization. They're trying to prepare for a football game, but they've kept their priorities straight of what's really important, and that's their neighbors in the city of Houston. Great job.
They've got people staying in the convention center, like right next door to the facility, right?
They've handled it perfectly. If you had to put together a textbook of how to handle a bad situation, I think the Houston Texans have done it very, very well. You hope they don't ever have to do it. You hope no one ever has to go through this. But unfortunately, it's hurricane season, and these things happen every once in a while, and sometimes they happen really bad in a bad, bad way. And to see the devastation and the flooding in Houston, and I've been in Houston with just a strong rain and it'll flood. I cannot imagine the what that city has gone through with the hurricane rains from Harvey they got. And all the Texans, from the top to the bottom, stepped up, did a great job.
We're going to hear about that throughout the week as we prepare for this game against the Houston Texans this Sunday. Ezekiel Elliott, suspension. The arbitrator still has the case. He's got to make a decision by tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern time. If he doesn't issue a ruling by then, Elliott automatically will be available week one against the Giants.
And that's Harold Henderson. I think you will hear something from him. But the plot even thickens. The PA, the NFLPA on the behalf of Ezekiel Elliott filed a restraining order in the state of Texas blocking any suspension. Under collective bargaining, I didn't think they could do that. I thought they had to do it all through the union. It's an interesting case, and the NFL has mud on its face once again. The lead investigator's recommendation was that there was not enough evidence to suspend him. That all the evidence she did, there just wasn't enough. The police investigated it, said there wasn't enough to press charges. The NFL came along, decided, I think, five games. It'll be interesting where this thing plays out, but it's not great. It's not great for the NFL, for the brand.
It's another mark on the shield, right? I mean, we don't know how big of a mark yet. We haven't really seen the outcome.
We'll see where it goes.
Happen, you know,
it's to one of the major brands of the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys, to one of the best players for that team. To start the season off for a team that wants to contend for a Super Bowl title, it's not good for anybody. And we'll see where this thing ends up.
There's our look around the National Football League. Let's finish with some Jags recap here. Houston, week one. Tennessee, week two. London against the Ravens, week three. We're going to find out real quick what this team has.
Well, the answer my Twitter, I had some people on Twitter saying, am I going to do my prediction of wins and losses?
Oh, you know what? We got to go down the – yeah.
I don't think
so. We should go down –
because it hasn't worked well for us. So let's stay away from it.
Let's go game by game. Like we always go game by game.
All right, here we go.
Oh, okay. Let's find the games first. You have the games up?
No.
Me either. Stand by. We can.
I really don't want to do it because
– Well, let's not do it then. I don't know why you're a chicken. You don't want to do it.
Because I don't want to do it because it's nonsensical. It doesn't mean anything.
And probably because I beat you last
year. And we're going to be wrong no matter what.
It's probably because I beat you last year.
I'm not – and I hate picking against my team.
We're going 16-0 then, apparently.
That's the problem. We're not.
So you're going to find out either way. If you don't want to do this, we won't. That's fine. But I will say that you'll find out fast what this team has in the division because you got the top two teams in the division right now in Houston and Tennessee. At least at the end of last season, they were the two best teams in the division.
Two good teams, two good defenses, power running team in Tennessee. You split with Tennessee last year. You get swept by the Texans. And you're right, JP. You don't, and on top of that, you don't want to be 0-2 going into London.
No. We've been 0 and whatever going into London a few times.
And you don't want to do that.
No.
So I think it's a big every opening week in the NFL is a big game. And the great thing is I actually like starting on the road because all the emotion is for both teams when you're on the road. And you still get your home opener the second week where all the emotion again is on your side because you're the home team opening up the season. So I'm fine starting on the road. I think it's a great opportunity. You take care of business. You wake up and you're 2-0 in the division going to London in a great position.
Absolutely.
And so it's right there in front of you. Great opportunities. And but it starts in Houston. It's going to be a tough game.
Devil's advocate. They're 0-2 going to London. The season's not over. There's a lot of football left.
No.
but it is not the way to get things started. This is a team that has not started well over the last five, six,
well, I
seven
picked
years.
This team. I picked this team to win on Sunday. All right, where's your pick?
This Sunday. What's the score?
17-14. Mm. Jaguars. How about you, JP?
If they run the ball well.
No. I said, are they going to win or lose? First. No, it's give me a win or loss and give me the score. I don't want your explanation.
It's Monday. I haven't been to practice yet. What are you talking
about? Radio, JP. I'm not saying you can't change your mind. My goodness, we're doing a show on Monday. That's why we're asking this question on Monday.
Right now, it's a win. And it's like 20-17, something like that. You got to run the ball well, like we talked about. You got to get some points early. Shut up the crowd. Hold on to the football. Maybe get a takeaway or two on defense if you can off Savage. And see what happens. I mean, that's something. All that has not happened around here in a bit, though. The takeaways and the running and all that. That's what this team wants to be. Haven't seen it around here in a few years. So all that's got to come together in one big week in Houston.
Well, and we've talked about it. And you're walking into a tough situation. It's going to be electric in that building. The emotion of what that city's been through and what that team represents of bringing everyone together. They're going to be rolling to start. The crowd's going to be loud. Yep. I mean, I can picture it now. We said this at the top of the show. J.J. Watt's going to come out with his guns and, you know, out and painted up and bleeding already with two flags and God bless America and long God bless Texas. They're going to be playing in the background. I mean, the place is going to be going crazy.
God bless Texas. The country song is going to come on.
I mean, who knows? Okay. It's going to be going crazy. Wow, I just know this. It's going to be going
intense.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's really intense.
And you just got to endure the beginning and you got to go out and match the intensity. And let everything settle down. And that's where, JP, what you said, so right. Running the ball is so important, especially early in that game.
If they get to in the opening drive, if they end up first down, they go for a yard, it's second and nine. Then maybe, let's say, there's a sack, second and 15. You're at third and 15 coming up.
I'm running draw.
And you got, are you?
Yes.
Because you're going to have the crowd amped up.
I'm running
opening
draw.
Drive.
Draw.
And here come Watt, Merciless.
I'm draw and punt.
No matter where you are.
No matter what.
You're not standing back there for 3 or 4 seconds. No way. No
chance. Well, it's opening. You're going to be deep in your own territory at that point. No.
Yeah, no.
Draw and punt.
Get out of there.
Oh, come on. Let's go defense. That's why you're the strength of this team.
Because that's the last thing you need is for a play like Watt to sack, fumble, touchdown, opening drive.
Do you remember back in the Atlanta when Atlanta played New Orleans and the first
punt
block?
Yeah,
and oh my
god, absolutely, it was over. It was over.
You could have gone to bed at that time right there.
It was over.
Game was over.
So same kind of idea this week against the Houston Texans. Defensively, feel like it's a pretty good matchup, at least on paper.
Well, I think no, it's not a good matchup. It's a great matchup for us. It's better. We're better than they are. They're not very good on offense. And defensively, listen.
We don't know how good we are, though.
The pressure is on you as a defense. We have spent money in those positions. We have talent there. All the talk all offseason from fans, from media, and from players. You heard Telvin Smith earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
Put it on our back. And it is, by the way. Now you got to go out and do it. You got to go do it. Not just in yardage, having, you know, a top five, whatever they were last year, 6 yardage, but scoring, stopping people, getting off the field, creating turnovers, helping your offense.
That's really the difference in a good defense and a great defense is, yeah, the takeaways, but when those takeaways, you're holding the ball in the end zone. The scoring on defense is really
big
difference.
Scoring defense, yes, they want to score. I'm talking about scoring, how many points they hold the opponent to.
Yeah.
They weren't very good at that last year.
Well, that too, but I'm talking about you're holding the ball in the end zone on a pick six.
Okay, I'd rather have the best.
I'll take both,
by the
way.
If we can have both, I'll take both too.
I think we can have both.
Well,
maybe.
Turnovers come by pressure on the quarterback.
Got to find that.
Got to get sacks. I think they can be more aggressive defensively. I think they can blitz a lot because they can play man outside.
Team is doing some community work tomorrow at Wolfson Children's Hospital. We'll have some coverage of that on Jaguars.com tomorrow. That'll be fun to see. And
the whole team?
A handful of players are going. Tom Coughlin, Jay Fund will be there as well for a visit with the children at Wolfson Children's Hospital. Then they're back on the field Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, travel Saturday. Here we go, NRG Stadium, week one. The Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll go on air, by the way, Sunday. It's a long way off. It's 6 days away, mind you. We'll go on air at 10 a.m. with the Publix tailgate show, and then high noon with countdown to kickoff.
Well, it's a high noon kickoff for us in Houston.
We're Eastern time here, Tony.
I'm just saying it'll be an early day.
I'll make sure I translate your time.
Early morning for Joe and I getting up, get to the stadium. Got to be ready.
Steak place, Houston?
I haven't decided what the food will be.
Depends on the situation with how you can get around.
That's right. It might be difficult. We might be staying at the hotel.
Might be.
We'll see.
Hey, well done, man.
Always fun, JP.
You carried the show as always.
And we'll see Pete next week. Hope you're feeling better, Petey.
Yeah. Pete Frisco back with us next week. Tony Boselli. Hollywood Max Hochman throwing some video up on the screen
tonight.
Good
job, Hollywood. Great job tonight. You are outstanding. Outstanding.
Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank
you
for watching and listening. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.